Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. What will you be doing this Sunday afternoon? Well, as much as we would like the answer to be listening to Lake Effect Weekend, we are aware that some of you might have other plans.
The Green Bay Packers open their 2015 season with a game in Chicago against the arch-rival Chicago Bears amid the usual high expectations for the green and gold.
Howie Magner is our sports contributor, and he's with us to talk about whether those high expectations are likely to be met this season. Hey there, Howie. Thanks for being here.
Mitch, as you know, it's always a pleasure to be here.
So indulge me here. We're just a couple of days away from kickoff for the Packers' opening game of the season. They start with a rivalry game at Soldier Field. The first few games of the preseason left them a little banged up, or in the case of Jordy Nelson, a lot banged up, which meant that I think the last preseason game was played entirely by high school students. Seriously, though, what kind of shape are the Packers in as the season gets underway health-wise?
If you take Jordy Nelson out of the equation, and obviously you can't entirely take him out of the equation, but having said or stipulated that they are not a completely healthy team because Jordy Nelson is not there. Beyond that, they're in pretty good shape for an NFL football team. Look, every NFL team is going to have injuries even coming into the season. You get training camp injuries. You talk to the Bills, who are, questionable about LeSean McCoy. They're starting running back and big free agent acquisition. You talk to the Bears themselves, who are basically without a receiver that anybody is going to know. Their top pick, Kevin White, is basically gone for the season. Alshon Jeffrey has struggled throughout the preseason. Eddie Royal, an acquisition that they had high hopes for, has struggled with injuries. So the Packers had their own set of injury concerns throughout the preseason. Jordy Nelson obviously headlines the group, and he's gone for the year, and that will hurt them.
Randall Cobb nursing a sore shoulder.
Randall Cobb's shoulder was the next big scare, and if he was gone for the season or a significant amount of time, then you're talking about a very different Packers offense. But I think the offense is deep enough and good enough that it can survive the loss of Nelson so long as Cobb is healthy, and the offensive line appears to be getting healthy at the right time. Various offensive linemen had various injuries that sidelined them throughout the preseason. But everything you hear coming out of the Packers camp now says that the offensive line is healthy. Eddie Lacy is healthy. Aaron Rodgers is healthy. Randall Cobb is going to play. Richard Rodgers is healthy. Devontae Adams, who's going to take Jordy Nelson's spot, is healthy. They just signed James Jones late in camp to come in and help out with the offense. Ty Montgomery, Jeff Janis. So all things considered, the Packers' offense is in pretty good shape. And defensively, they're in pretty good shape, too. Clay Matthews struggled with injuries early on. You haven't heard so much about that now. Julius Peppers is looking good. B.J. Raji is looking good. So from a health standpoint, I think Packers fans can breathe something of a sigh of relief after some real early scares.
Now, it took a little while for the offensive line to kind of get healthy and be all together, which meant that Aaron Rodgers did not play in either of the last two preseason games. But there seems like there's little concern that he's going to be rusty come Sunday.
Yeah, if Aaron Rodgers was a fresh-faced rookie or second-year guy and didn't have enough street cred to do quirky photobomb videos with Olivia Munn, then folks might be a little bit concerned. But look, Aaron Rodgers is a grizzled old veteran these days. He's one of the longest tenured starting quarterbacks in the NFL now. So, and he's widely recognized as the best quarterback on the planet right now. So I don't think guys in his position need a whole lot of preseason time to get ready, especially when you've got as much of the offense coming back as you had last season. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't have to practice like everybody else has to practice, but you assume that he's doing the things that he needs to do to get ready for the season in practice, away from the cameras and all that type of stuff.
So, he's not going to be confused by the playbook.
No, I don't think he's forgotten which man to send in motion at what time. I think he's a pretty smart guy, and Aaron Rodgers should be the least of Packers fans' concerns going into this game.
All right. Well, that's a great segue. We talked about this a month ago, I think, and a year ago, and probably 2 years ago. The Packers look to have many more questions to answer about their defense than their offense.
Sure, and the biggest questions are going to be in the secondary, which is a whole new cast of characters. So you've basically rebuilt almost that entire secondary over the past 2 years. So how are the young guys going to step up? I mean, Clinton Dix, a second-year guy, is basically passing for a veteran in the secondary these days. And they're expecting big things from Casey Hayward, who's going to have some big shoes to fill. So the early returns are good. I think they're going to be a serviceable secondary. I don't know if it's going to, early on anyway, be the type of secondary that you would expect to win games for you. But I don't know that the Packers under Mike McCarthy have ever expected their defense to win games for them. Now, look, there are players on the defensive side of the ball that can make game-winning plays. Clay Matthews comes to mind, Julius Peppers last year, even B.J. Raji. But as a whole, if you're a Packers fan, what you want is the defense to be good enough.
This is a team that's going to win its games mainly from its offense.
Absolutely. And occasionally the offense is going to stumble, and that's where you need your defense to step up enough to pick up some of the slack. But if you're looking for a biggest concern, it's the secondary.
But at the end of the day, or the end of the season, is there any reason to imagine that the Packers are not a team that could, you know, certainly contend to play in the Super Bowl this
year? No, in fact, I just did a half-hour-long podcast with Dan Schaefer for the magazine's website. We're starting that up. I'll give it a plug right now. Go to MilwaukeeMag.com. You can hear us talk Packers and a bunch of other things on this new podcast that we're doing. But no, we just had this conversation that absolutely, even with the loss of Jordy Nelson, the Packers still have an offense that 75-85% of the teams in the league would drool over having in Rodgers and Lacy and Cobb and Adams, young kids like Adams and Ty Montgomery and Jeff Janis and even Richard Rodgers, the tight end. So they're absolutely one of the handful of teams in the league that has legitimate Super Bowl expectations. That doesn't mean that you expect the Packers to win the Super Bowl, that they are the odds-on favorite. I don't know that anybody is a far and above favorite to win the Super Bowl this year, but they are one of the teams that's good enough that, you know, all things being equal, health, if they stay healthy the rest of the year, if they do what they should do, they will be there at the end with a chance to win. And they're going to be there with teams like Seattle, and I think Philadelphia really improved itself during the offseason. I don't think Dallas is going away. I think the New York Giants or the Arizona Cardinals could step up in the NFC. Out in the AFC, you've got the usual suspects and the New England Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos. I think those are the teams with the best chances to win. Now, there's a lot of good teams in that level. That means that any one of those teams only has maybe a 10, 15, 20% chance of winning at all. But that's a heck of a lot better than being the Jacksonville Jaguars or the opponent that they're facing this week, the Chicago Bears, who still have Jay Cutler as their quarterback.
The point here is that the Packers are going to be playing meaningful football in December.
Yeah, as long as your big guns are healthy. And the biggest gun of all is, of course, Aaron Rodgers. As long as he's upright, the Packers have a chance to win every game this season.
Don't look now. The Brewers are out of last place.
Hey! Celebrate time.
This is not a team that's playing meaningful baseball at this stage of the season. But in a way, it's meaningful that they're playing better than they were 2 or 3 months ago.
Well, yeah, for what it's worth. I mean, long ago, the goal of this season, the number one goal of this season, stopped being winning games and started being preparing for the future. The good news is that while looking at some of these younger kids, like a Santana in the outfield or young men on the pitching mound, or even the Ariel Pena, who's just getting a shot here as a September call-up, those guys are starting to perform. Hernan Perez is doing pretty well. So
I think the September call-ups were here in like May.
And look, they've done it at the expense of some older veterans like Kyle Loesch, who was removed from the rotation, and Matt Garza, who was just recently removed from the rotation and did not like that whatsoever. He kind of threw a bit of a temper tantrum afterward in the media.
Had he read his statistics for the season?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when you get right down to it, he's really got nobody to blame but himself. Had he pitched better, he'd still be pitching. And frankly, the Brewers might be playing better. Now, look, I'm not saying that the Brewers were, you know, are bad because Matt Garza was bad, but he was part of the problem. And when that's the case, I don't know how – look, I know you're a competitor. I get it. You always want to be going out there. But look in the mirror and realize there's a reason they're doing it. And the reason is that he wasn't pitching well enough to hold that spot, and there are some other guys they've got to take a look at. Now, he's under contract to the Brewers for another year or two, and he'll get another shot to stake his claim as owning a place in that rotation again. But given the way things are, again, priorities change. It's not about winning every game you can this month. It's about prepping for the future and seeing what you've got on these young kids who are going to be part of your future, whether or not Matt Garza is. And by the time the Brewers become contenders again, Garza won't be on this team, but some of these young kids will be. And the Brewers have to see what they've got.
And at the same time, the Brewers are looking for the guy that's going to guide them because they're in the market for a general manager.
Yeah, and that might be the biggest development from a long-term standpoint to come out of this season is that Doug Melvin is stepping back. He's going to take more of a consultancy role in the front office, and they're going to have a new general manager during the offseason. Now, they're going about it in a bit of an unorthodox manner in that, one, Doug Melvin will be there. I don't think he's there to be an overlord for this new general manager. I think Doug Melvin is smart enough and Mark Attanasio is smart enough. And ideally, the incoming general manager would be smart enough to know that the GM is the guy making the decisions. But Doug Melvin has a wealth of baseball experience and wisdom and can be a wonderful resource for whoever takes that job. The new GM should not feel threatened by Doug Melvin at all. He should, I would think, welcome his presence there because he can be a wonderful resource. But the other unorthodox thing is that basically Mark Attanasio said Craig Counsell is going to be our manager going forward. So whoever comes in as the GM is going to have to be comfortable with that fact. And most GMs come in and have the freedom to hire their own manager. In this case, that won't be the case. But having said that, I think Craig Counsell has proven that he's pretty good and he should be an asset to the new GM coming in. What you're curious about is what direction is the new GM going to go? What type of team is he going to want to put on the field? Is he going to emphasize power? Is he going to emphasize pitching at the expense of offense? Does he want more of a speed and defense type of team? That's what we don't know. And until we see what his priorities are, it's going to be a little harder to predict which players are going to be here down the line and which ones will be moved out of the organization.
Howie, your title at Milwaukee Magazine is somewhat close to general manager. Are you going to dust off your resume?
I don't think they would have any interest in having a managing editor running the Milwaukee Brewers, but thanks anyway.
We're happy to have you here, though.
It's my pleasure to be here, as always, Mitch.
Howie Magner is managing editor at Milwaukee Magazine, and he's our regular sports contributor. And if you want more sports, you'll find a link to that podcast he mentioned at WUWM.com.